This is On the Ground Ipsy on 89.1 WEMU, your community NPR station. And as you know, this is one of the projects we do that really emphasizes that word community. And so happy to have Sarah Rigg with us this morning talking about the work that she's been out doing on behalf of Concentrate Media in the community. We are a proud media partner of this project. And really, anything we can do to talk about some of these people and places and things that are helping to uplift the Ypsilanti community, both the city and the township, is the whole reason for this project. Because we just see a lot of negative coverage coming out of the media about things going on in Ipsy, and not a lot of coverage going on about the people that are trying to lift this community up, every part of this community. So, Sarah, thank you so much for being here this morning.
Good morning.
ConcentrateMedia.com, right? Of course, you can get all this linked over at WEMU.org. And if you want to share this interview and the great work that Sarah and the folks do at Concentrate Media on this and other projects, you can find all that at ConcentrateMedia.com and, of course, linked at our website. What was the topic for this week? What was the in-depth investigation?
I started working on the story in response to the Ypsilanti Township 2040 story I did a couple weeks back, and found out during that process where they were updating their master plan that Ipsy Township alone has 28 active neighborhood watch or neighborhood association groups, and there's also quite a few that form a coalition in the city. And I thought that was great that neighbors are so active helping out and watching out for other neighbors. And I wanted to talk to a few of them about how the neighborhood watch idea has sort of morphed over time, but still the heart of it, watching out for neighbors
is
still
there.
That's
new information to me. 28's a big number. I think it speaks to the amount of involved people in our community, and you've brought a couple of those very involved people here. But first, let's talk about in the city itself. You talked to some representatives from different places. What can we see in your piece?
Well, they have a slightly different model there. They do have individual neighborhood associations, but they formed a federation called COPAC. It's the Community Policing, I'm going to forget the whole name, the Community Policing Action Coalition.
Coalition,
I believe it is. And so I talked to the Ipsy police chief. He's quoted briefly in the story. And then I talked to Steve Pierce, who is active in COPAC, about their model in the town, or I'm sorry, in the city as well.
All right. And you've brought a couple folks from the township.
Right.
Introduce our guests for this morning.
So we have with us Maurice Stovall, who is the chair of the Galt Village Neighborhood Association, and Joanne McCollum, who is president of the New West Willow Neighborhood Association and their associated neighborhood
watch. So we got West Willow and Galt Village in the house this morning, and welcome. Thank you so much for being here. And thank you for being involved in your communities first. I know it takes a lot of individuals. It takes a community, it takes a village to raise a child, but it takes a lot of individuals to raise a community up. So Joanne, let's chat with you first. I know that you are part and the new president, or you are the president of the New West Willow. Is it Neighborhood Association?
Yes.
Okay. And part of that is this Neighborhood Watch.
Yes.
So let's just ask flat out, you know, what do you view the role of the Neighborhood Watch as in your community?
Well, I think it gives a sense of security to people in the community and helps with a quality of life, that security. Knowing that you have a place where community can come together and ask questions and have questions answered and connect with people and just help neighbors out.
And how do you identify yourself? I mean, if you're out and about in the community, is there a way I can say, hey, this is a person that's involved with this, so if I need a helping hand or something like that, I can reach out to them? Or does everybody just kind of know everybody?
Well, yes and no.
Okay. All right.
It's a huge neighborhood. Yeah. It's 1,160 homes. 3,000 people reside there. So there are a lot of people I know because I've lived there over 20 years. But I do identify myself with the association. Okay. I'll introduce my name and where I'm from.
Now, I was going to ask you that. How long have you lived in the neighborhood? So 20 years, what have you seen change in that time? And how do you see the role of what you're doing now and the necessity of it change during those two decades as well?
Well, I saw a lot of change when the housing market crashed.
Yeah.
So I saw a lot of longtime neighbors leave. Home ownership went over from majority to renter-owner. And so I saw a lot of people coming and going, which was different when I first moved
there. Did you have a problem with just delinquent or, you know, buildings kind of being vacant or buildings, you know, not being occupied too? I mean, I imagine that there was a period of time where houses were being foreclosed on or people were just leaving. They weren't being filled. I mean, that seems to be a problem in a lot of neighborhoods, you know, that empty buildings draw people that are wanting to do things in empty buildings, which I can imagine. So So over the last 10 years or so, though, have you kind of seen that building back up, that people are becoming more homeowners in the neighborhood and really being more committed to the neighborhood itself?
Yes. Actually, it was just a short period where we had multiple vacant homes. Okay. The township is really quick on acting on things like that.
Oh, good. That's great information.
So we didn't have a lot of that. But I do see that we stabilized with home ownerships. And then we've gotten to know some of our landlords. And they want to present good homes. So
sure.
We have the renters involved with the Neighborhood Association, which we're very happy because they live there.
And what's how big is your group? And kind of tell us some of what are the activities you do? Or you know, I think when we think about Neighborhood Watch, some of us might think of a patrol out in the neighborhood mm-hmm. at night with their flashlights and their, you know, their jackets on, looking for troubled youth that are out past curfew or something like that. But you know, dispel that notion. Tell us about what you guys do.
Right. As a neighborhood association, we did start out as a Neighborhood Watch.
Okay.
But we evolved into an association because the 501c3, we found that more beneficial for our community. And what we do is we give events for youth, for seniors, health events. We work very closely with the Washtenaw County Health Department, Washtenaw County Sheriff Office Department, the township, Ypsilanti, Parks and Rec. And the reason why we do that is because we listen to our members of what they want.
Well, that's great. I think you're advocating on behalf of your neighborhood is kind
yes.
of what it sounds like.
With mm-hmm.
So you know these community agencies are there, that they have help available. But for people that don't know on their own how to get out to those places, it sounds like
right.
you're trying to be a resource for your neighborhood.
Right.
That's excellent. Thank you. I know you have a website and a Facebook page, right, where people can find you?
We have a Facebook page.
Okay.
And we're on Nextdoor.com. So, you know, if you're connected to our neighborhood or whatever, you can get on our Nextdoor. But definitely our Facebook. Anyone
okay.
can get on our Facebook.
Just search for New West Willow and we'll find you.
Yep.
All right.
Sure will.
Maurice, thanks for being here this morning.
Good morning.
All right. So you kind of got the inside view on some of the questions I'm going to be asking. You're from Galt Village, right?
Yes.
All right. And I'm saying that right, all right? I always look at that GAU and I'm never quite sure where to go with that.
You said it right.
All right.
Galt
thank
Village.
You. Thank you. Thank you. And how long have you been in the neighborhood?
I've been there 4 years. So
okay.
I'm
all right.
freshly new to it. But I've been involved in that community from day one when I first moved in.
Okay.
The former Neighborhood Watch chair actually came down, introduced himself, welcomed me and my family, and when he stepped down, I immediately took over for him.
And I know that had a reputation, you know, 30, 40 years ago as kind of a thriving area with a strong UAW presence, and as the auto industry kind of started to move away and collapse and whatnot, a lot of things happened in the neighborhood that followed that. You know, housing values go down and people start moving away, and probably similar stories about the collapse too. So, you know, does that kind of follow what you've seen there, that, you know, that this is a neighborhood that's coming on its way back up?
It is. And actually from 2008, after the housing market crashed, Galt Village suffered really bad.
Mm.
I think a lot of people just abandoned their homes, foreclosed. A lot of homes were foreclosed.
Yeah.
Just from the history I've had of talking with the neighbors, the community actually went way down. I mean, houses were actually selling for less than $30,000.
Wow.
And part of that problem, I say what happened was you had people come in and buy up those homes and then start renting them out.
Right.
And you don't like to, you know, put a bad connotation on the term renters,
right.
but a lot of renters just didn't care.
Right. Well, you know, that people that don't own a part of the neighborhood aren't as invested in the community. It's just a fact. You know,
exactly.
A lot of great renters out there that don't have the money to buy a house that really want to be a part of the neighborhood, but also a lot of people that are just there temporarily and don't feel like investing their time and energy and money, quite frankly, back in. So you've been there 4 years now on the Neighborhood Watch. Same kind of question. You know, let's get away from the flashlights walking around at night looking for people out past curfew. What do you do in your neighborhood?
We're very involved with our concerns of our neighbors, and we try to find out what's going on. Just, you know, one of the things I guess that we do in our neighborhood as well is we have a connection with the township, the mm-hmm. sheriff's department.
Okay.
One of the things that I was able to do when I bought to the community, they never had a community picnic. And so the first year there, I started a community picnic. I partnered mm-hmm. with Habitat for Humanity along with my music school, and we, for 3 years in a row, we did a music community picnic, provided live entertainment. This year we didn't do it because I had surgery. So a lot of people were saying, they were wondering what happened. They said, we didn't have that picnic this year.
You know, I think it's amazing. You probably could attest to this. If you get to know your neighbors, it builds a stronger community. I think a lot of us live way more isolated lives than we did. I mean, we look at stuff from the 50s and 60s. We see people out in their community and everybody knew their neighbors. And you need to have projects. We need to put a fence up. Everybody in the neighborhood come help put the fence up. Need a new roof. You know, that was... It's just becoming so uncommon these days. So you saw a need for your neighbors just to get to know each other.
And that was part of why I did the community picnic, was to get everyone out of their homes. You know, and one of the things I did is I picked the Father's Day weekend. Mm. And I kind of joked about it. I said, we always do everything for Mother's Day. Let's do something for Father's Day. Yeah. So I always tell the neighbors, bring your father out, your grandfather, you know, brother, uncle.
Good.
And but by doing that, people got to see one another. We started having more people attend the neighborhood watch meetings. And ours over there, we really average about 40 people to a meeting.
And how big is the neighborhood, do you know?
We have about 900, I want to say 26 homes, I think it is, in our community.
Right.
Not as large as West Willow, and I know West Willow is a large neighborhood. Right. I've done a lot of work over there. So the turnaround in our neighborhood, in our community, was when also we had Habitat for Humanity come in and buy about 40 homes and renovate them. And actually, that's how I got my home, is I went through the Habitat program.
Yeah.
And so I'm a Habitat homeowner. Now, within the township, we have the lowest amount of renters in our community now.
Well, that's great. And I think there's been other things done, too, to encourage home ownership. And you and I were chatting a little bit before we sat down here about some of the other efforts that Habitat's done to help existing homeowners to improve their homes. It's not just about building or renovating. It's also about looking at appliances and efficiencies.
Right.
And I loved your story you shared with me with the, you know, they found the gentleman with the furnace that was actually poisoning him with the carbon monoxide. And it's a lot of good work going on in the community. And I think, you know, I'm just kind of assuming here that part of the work you would do as a neighborhood watch is if you see those things, you can refer people to those kinds of resources.
And that's one of the things, my job now, even before I became the actual chair, I've linked up with so many nonprofit groups that are looking to help homeowners in need. And so I try to be a reference. And so many families already in our community have called on me with issues. And I'll tell you this much. This was a funny story to show you how involved I am.
Go ahead.
We had an infestation of skunks. and it was really
in
funny.
In the trash and everything,
And even people in the community, it got to the point where there were so many jokes going around about skunks in the community. So one homeowner called me and said, Maurice, what do we do? So I called up DNR and said, hey, what do I tell these people? And part of the problem is because with construction, you mess with the habitation of the critters, they're going to look for somewhere to go. And believe it or not, their one best advice they gave me, they said, tell people if they have grubs, get Grub-X. Because
they're eating them.
Skunks love grubs.
Them
And so many dogs were getting sprayed at night. And so people started posting about, you know, how do I get rid of skunk, you know, spray off of my dog? So I took it upon myself to call the DNR, and then I shared that information. So that we cover things such as that, you know, that might be trivial to others, but to our neighborhood, it was an issue. I wanted to help.
And we just had an election actually last night, and one of the things we talk about a lot in our community is underrepresentation of certain classes of people, of certain neighborhoods, of you know, poor, the minorities. I mean, take your pick. There's a long history of marginalization in just about every community in the country, but it certainly represents itself here. And it sounds like in your own way, you're trying to represent the interests of these neighborhoods. I mean, you're not an elected official by any stretch of the imagination, but both of you have shared great stories of lots of people coming to you and saying, what do we do? And then you advocating on their behalf or finding agency or finding information. So thank you. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for being there for that. Do you have a website or anything like that we could reach out and find you if we wanted more info?
Most people can look us up. I think our group, though, is still a closed group, but you can get online. We're called Galt Village Facebook. That's
right,
Galt Village Neighborhood.
You can find it if you want to ask somebody, an administrator will let you in.
They will, and then you can find it because that's how we share all of our information in our community.
And that's one of the benefits, you know, the way that social media has changed Neighborhood Watches is, you know, it's not letters and mailboxes anymore. anymore.
Exactly.
You know, you can communicate in an instant. That Nextdoor app is great too, because you know, right away you can see things going on in your neighborhood all the time. So thank you so much for both of you for doing what you do, and thanks for sharing your stories this morning. Really appreciate it. I love your skunk stories. Great. You know, those out snacking on those grubs every night, spraying the dogs. They come in my trash, so I know all about those skunks. We had to put a big old cinder block on top of our trash can outside now to keep them out. But thank you so much. Sarah, welcome back. What do you got planned for next time around on the Ground Ipsy?
Well, I'm juggling a couple stories right now and seeing which one pans out first, but I think that my next story is going to be about the Michigan Firehouse Museum in Ypsilanti and some new things that they have going on there.
I have to admit, I've been here almost 6 years, and I have not been there yet. I know. I've been told you got to get there, got to get there, got to get there. I've been just about every other place in the city and the township, but not there for some reason. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to exploring it with some great pictures too. And I'm assuming Doug did some good shots for you for this story this week as well.
Yes.
All right.
He did for sure.
And you can see all that at concentratemedia.com. Of course, you can find it all linked over at wemu.org. This is 89.1 WEMU FM and HD1 Ypsilanti.